Hey folks, I'm Christian, and this is an Ice Age Farmer update on Wednesday, October 24th. Well, Hurricane Wilma turned out to weaken before it impacted, so hopefully that's going to be, we can breathe a collective sigh of relief, although we'll keep an eye on the damage reports coming out of there. On the other hand, U2, we see here making landfall over Tinian and Saipan. This is exactly where it is right now as I speak. And that was pretty much a direct hit, an absolute disaster in the works right now. The, indeed, strongest super typhoon since 1962. And it pretty much ran right over those two islands there. Obviously, this is happening now, so I don't have any data. I could only speculate as to what the effects will be on people, places, and crops. But it doesn't look good. Neither does it look good in Trinidad and Tobago, which I mentioned briefly last time. That has been now elevated to a national emergency. And tons of folks are displaced, as well as, you can tell, things, houses, crops, animals, underwater. Again, don't have any data yet, although it looks like it's going to be a nasty one. Here is some data coming out of Australia, where we've kept an eye certainly on conditions down there. Wheat production exports forecast to be lowest in 11 years. We knew it's been taking a hit down there from the drought, but now we actually have the numbers from the USDA. Expectations being again marked down. The Australian crop was forecast to be the smallest since 13.6 million tons in 2007. That means it's down 13% from last year's crop and hugely from the record before that. Also read down here in the article that, as we know, it's not just wheat that was affected. Not only are Australian wheat supplies diminished, but we're probably not going to export much. And they also really need animal feed this year because the drought didn't just shrink the wheat harvest, it also destroyed pastures completely. So, you know, while it is the smallest wheat export year for Australia, we do have to at least celebrate that they're still exporting grains. We knew, and we already covered that, Germany had gone from a net exporter to a net importer, trying desperately to source wheat and grains from the world market. Looks like the same thing published here today from China. China grain imports plunge in September amid trade war with the U.S. and the higher prices. I'm not sure which might actually be to blame there. Sorghum imports drop three quarters more than that from the year before, year over year. Analysts say it should have been worse. Corn imports are also the lowest in nearly 2 years. They're desperately trying to get more pork because of the swine flu, but that's different. Sorghum, which is usually used to feed the livestock herd, fell a ton, according to the data, dragged down by the tariffs. Was it the tariffs? Let's keep reading here for a second. Actually, as for sorghum and barley, global prices were not very attractive. Well, wait a minute. Global prices aren't having U.S. tariffs on them. No, this is China, a huge buyer, going out and finding the prices are rising. They've got a lot of leverage. China's got a lot of people and a lot of resources. That's a big. There's no bigger buyer out there. So for them not to find prices that are acceptable to them on the world markets is a pretty big red flag. And I would suggest that you pay attention to it, that we start growing our own food. If that's, in fact, looking back, China had set the goal of becoming, I just want to remind ourselves, by 2030, they had said we want to be pretty much food self-sufficient, including 95 was the target, 95% grain self-sufficient by 2030. Well, it's interesting that they chose the year 2030, isn't it? Especially when most of the literature out there looking at the solar cycles and the phase catastrophe of the principal magnetic fields that we're experiencing right now, which is causing changes of climate and drifting of our weather patterns, the shrinking of our magnetosphere's strength. And it looks like that phase catastrophe really finally hits swing in 2030. We're entering the fun of it right now. You can tell this is the rising vibes of it. But then there's a brief point of shared polarity again before we really just enter into the cold phase, what they call the cold sun. 2030 seems to be a perfectly acceptable and reasonable number to pick if you're going to aim for being food self-sufficient. Personally, I would try and do it before then, but you know, for 1.7 billion people, that's still a pretty good goal, right? All right, so what's going on? Why are temperatures dropping off? It is because of that sun's output changing. UK is expecting now the coldest Halloween next week in a century over there. It's going to be negative 5 degrees Celsius. It's a pretty cold map there for the trick-or-treaters. Make sure you are warm in your costume. Animals are changing their behaviors to match the fact that the climate is changing, right? We're seeing these. I've reported on the feral camels in West Australia who are eating up crops and invading down there because they were searching for food and water. There was not enough where they usually live to find it. Similarly, we saw mobs of kangaroos come into Canberra looking for food because the drought was just bad enough to destroy their own food, right? So they came into the cities looking for food. And here we go. New records in Canberra for cold, frosty nights. It was very dry. And that means there's no food for kangaroos. Folks, if there's no food for the animals, what do you think is going on? And now, here in the United States, in Virginia, I wanted to report this. Black bear sightings are on the rise. In light, why? Why are there more black bears? Again, it's because there's no food for them. The acorn shortage. If you live in Virginia and have spotted a black bear as of late, it may be because of an acorn shortage this fall, according to wildlife experts. The shortage has forced the local bear population into more populated areas as they search for food. Don't worry, quote, they aren't here to hurt us. They're just trying to survive. Hopefully those two things don't come into conflict there. Now, even though I would expect, there's not much reason given for the acorn shortage. We just talk about the bears. I did dig deeper into this. Here's a little bit of video footage from this. I did dig deeper and noticed that back in 2008, we have one of my favorite headlines, scientists baffled. Whenever you see that, you just know this is completely ridiculous. So why are now baffled scientists talking about mysterious acorn shortage? I've never seen no acorns. I've lived here my entire life. It's unprecedented. I can't think of any other year like this. And indeed, there were, you know, there was a die-off of squirrels because there was no food. I don't know if they had bears. They didn't see any bears reported when this happened 10 years ago. But what we do see from the Smithsonian here, and again, it's a mystery. It's a mystery. Scientists are baffled. Well, not this scientist. Down here, what we had, in fact, what happens to oak trees when they're getting pollinated? That happens around May. And in 2008, we see here from the Smithsonian, even though it's a complete mystery, what happened back here was, well, it could be insects. No, they didn't really affect the pollination. Well, we could have a late frost, but no, we didn't have a late frost. What we did have, though, in 2008 was rain. Days and days of rain, adding up to more than 10 inches at the National Airport. Okay, so what happened this year in May in Virginia? It's pretty easy to find out. We get in the time machine, and we check May 2018. Well, Richmond, Virginia, in a nutshell, obviously no pun intended there. It was just here. May was a warm and wet month. Specifically, May was the wettest May in Richmond weather history back to 1872. So again, it's not a mystery. We're not baffled. We had a really wet May, a lot of precipitation, which is happening in a lot of places. And apparently that messed with the pollination of the oak trees, and now there's no acorns, and now we're getting those secondary and tertiary effects of the changing climate. Bears who are hungry coming to look for your food. All right, let's switch gears. As if we need any more reason to grow our own food, right? We're watching the decline of modern agriculture. Animals are changing their patterns, and so too must we. We need to get in the game here. But as if we need any more reason, here's another one. Back in February, we saw that the seals had microplastics in them, so that we noticed that microplastics in the oceans were just from pollution, were making their way up to the food chain, and they were detected in seals. It did not bode well for us, and sure enough, within the last month here, that's sort of come to fruition. First, we saw that sea salt around the world is contaminated by plastic, and that is all around the world, China, US, Europe. And then here in Indonesia, where they're making it the old-fashioned way. Yes, microplastics are found in 90% of table salt, and worse yet, it's found in 100% of human fecal samples in this new latest study. The lead scientist admitted this is not a very pleasant study to have conducted, In fact, here we go. Maybe because it's not the most pleasant material to work with. I would concur with that sentiment. But yeah, so there it is. 100% of the people that they looked at had consistently lots of microplastics in their fecal matter, which means it came from their diet, right? So what this actually means is your food is full of plastic. And folks, if that's not a good reason to stop buying from the industrial, yet another good reason to stop buying from the industrial, modern, big ag, industrialized, toxic machine of plastic food, then I don't know what is. I mean, we're really, it's just a disaster, modern agriculture. And so it's not a surprise. I had mentioned that Tyson Superfoods, what do they call themselves? Tyson Foods, who bought up gradually all of the ag across the southern United States, across most of the United States, has now one of the major funders of fake meat. And we took a look at how that there was some friction there. It doesn't make sense for you to take over the real meat industry and then fund fake meat unless there's a greater agenda, something bubbling down, which we know there is. I got a good response to that and wanted to play a little bit more. It's a fun game. A little bit more follow the money. We've talked about these studies that suggest due to overpopulation and changing climate, we're all going to have to eat, you know, cockroach milk and go strictly vegan. Well, here, let's check this out. Nourished Planet, sustainability in the global food system. It looks like this is something that we should, you know, is well-intentioned and we should be heeding. But the devil's in the detail. Literally, the devil is in the details here. Down here, we see it's funded by the Barilla Center for Food and Nutrition. For those of us keeping score at home, Barilla is the largest pasta company in the world. It's an international pasta conglomerate. And this is their book. It argues for a plant-based diet, rich in fruits, vegetables, and grains, including pasta. And it was funded. The science in this book, which was by Barilla, was also funded by Barilla. So it's just from top to bottom. This is a corporate, I mean, it's advertising. It's a corporate advertising scheme that makes it seem like a philanthropic endeavor, the Passion for Pasta Advisory Council, much like all of the Rockefeller, much like all of these philanthropic endeavors, the vaccinations from Bill Gates. This is their agenda, folks. This is not them trying to solve anyone's problems. Let's play this follow the money game again. It's kind of fun, right? Here, this I mentioned this Rise for Climate March. It was huge. I was getting text messages sent to my cell phone and people calling, like real people who were volunteering, or perhaps they were being paid. It turns out because these People's Climate Movement is funded to the tune here of $36 million by, surprise, surprise, Palpatine himself, George Soros. Although if you look through, and I'm not going to do it now, but you can look through on here who's funding us and, you know, where are we getting our money and our volunteers, and they have little tiny groups mentioned, but no, if you track these things down, they all turn out to be little branches off the main tree of evil here, George Soros. So if this is a grassroots effort, as they claim, if these are volunteers calling me at 8 a.m. to try and get me to come out for a climate march, good luck with that sale. Then why do they need $36 million? That's because this is not a grassroots effort. This is a concocted, scripted, and heavily funded effort to make it seem like the public support is there. Just like the media, 90% coverage against Trump, and yet his approval ratings are higher than Obama. That's some tippy-top results right there, if ever I've seen one. All right, folks, that's enough of that game. I wanted to mention this, the Azolla Foundation, and just Azolla in general is not something that I have any experience with, and so I just wanted to sort of call it out here and see if folks have had any thoughts on that. You can comment below or send me an email. Azolla is a just sort of like duckweed. It sits on the top of water and shoots down some roots and grows there. It's very quick to grow. In fact, I'll read here. Azolla is a unique freshwater fern that is one of the fastest growing plants on the planet due to its symbiotic relationship with a cyanobacterium, kind of like the spirulina, but a different one. And these folks have created feed pellets from it and used it as a biofuel. In fact, here's the uses. Some uses of Azolla include biofertilizer, biofuel, CO2 sequestration, food, livestock feed, mosquito control. And they've been using it in these integrated rice azolla duck fish farming in Japan, which is another one of these closed systems that is insanely productive and tends to be towards self-sufficient. You still have some input requirements. Here's a PDF. I'll share a link below to one of those azolla production and leveraging systems. You can see that the ducks and everything is just integrated here with the rice. It's pretty cool. Kind of like aquaponics on the field with ducks. And so yeah, if you know anything about azolla or have any recommendations, leave me a note below. Finally, folks, I can't let this go without recognizing that because it needs to be talked about, we are still in the midst of a social media censorship crackdown, right? The establishment is actively deleting pages. It's not just Alex Jones now. This is a man who I've supported for some time now by buying his military grade coffee, which is super. And I've actually mentioned it before this happened. And now I just think that we need to, you know, this is the guy who had right-wing news on Facebook with 3 million followers, just blown away. I expect this channel also to be blown away at some point, but until that happens, I will continue to put out this message that we need to be sharing the news of the natural climate cycles with people. It's not going to be available online forever, so, you know, go get a Got Mini Ice Age t-shirt from David Dubine, Adapt 2030, or make your own t-shirts, do something, make a physical copy of something so that as the internet censorship continues to get worse and worse, I mean, it's there, it's obvious, it's in your face. Just like these geophysical changes and solar output changes. Some people didn't even bother to talk about the censorship at all because it's just expected. And then the majority of those that didn't translate that to a solution. It didn't turn that into, what do we do about this censorship? And my suggestion, beyond supporting these guys, beyond supporting this channel and anyone that you think is putting out the good word and is suffering the consequences for it, we appreciate your support. And I think you got to get out in the physical world with something physical and brochures, whatever it is that you're good at and comfortable doing and your resources allow, please do it now, because we are in an all-out war to get this information out there. And that's it, folks. I thank you for watching. I do thank you for going out and doing that and sharing the word. I hope you're taking steps every day to ensure your food production ramping up as we head towards these insane weather events and these crop losses. Let's get on the ball here. We're all in this together, and I'm perfectly confident that we have the ability to produce enough food for all of us, provided we all start now. Thanks for watching, folks.